Welcome to our podcast series, Elected Ed, in which we talk about issues affecting the everyday governing environment for local elected officials throughout North Carolina. We're coming to you from our studio here at the UNC School of Government in Chapel Hill. I'm Patrice Rossler, Manager of Elected Official Programming here with the school's Center for Public Leadership and Governance. According to my favorite fount of all knowledge, Wikipedia, it takes about 8.3 minutes for sunlight to reach the surface of the Earth from the sun. I've often wondered what it would be like to track a single ray of sunlight as it leaves its cosmic portal and follow it all the way through its 8.3 minute journey to the surface of the Earth. That ray of light that you just pictured in your mind is a metaphor for our topic today. The SUN Project in Cabarrus County. SUN is an acronym for Substance Use Network, which is a unique program in Cabarrus County for pregnant women with substance use disorders. Today, our guests are Dr. Russell Suda, obstetrician and medical director, who is the visionary and instigator behind the SUN Project. We're joined by his colleague, Gina Hofert of the Suda Institute. We also have three faculty members from here at the School of Government who have played vital roles in the project. Mark Botts is our attorney specializing in issues related to mental health, developmental disabilities, and substance use services, including confidentiality related to those services. Christy Nicodem, another attorney here, specializes in social services, including those elements of confidentiality with sharing information. Dr. Tashani Williams is our faculty expert in nonprofit management and community engagement. Our final guest is Commissioner Steve Morris, who is the chairman of the Cabarrus County Board of Commissioners. Welcome, everyone. Dr. Suda, you're the reason this project exists. Who does the SUN Project serve?
The SUN Project mainly serves Medicaid patients, women who are pregnant and either using substances or having a substance use disorder. We treat women who are pregnant, but also during that first year postpartum, which is a very difficult year with a newborn, we serve these women as well, and oftentimes after they've delivered their babies.
Why is it you find that rewarding?
As an obstetrician gynecologist, I never wanted to really take care of these patients because you really required a psychiatric support services, and you required a lot of social service support services, and I really couldn't talk anybody into helping me. And that's true for a lot of obstetricians, gynecologists. So when I saw the clinical pathway for managing substance use and pregnancy that came out of the Pregnancy Medical Home Initiative in 2014, I began going around the community in Cabarrus County, speaking with members of a collaboration that I thought we needed to have to comprehensively and coordinatedly manage these difficult, complex patients through pregnancy.
So has there been a success story that you recall?
Oh my gosh, I got a lady who came to us fresh off of heroin. In fact, she very mercifully got me off the golf course, which I'm terrible at. And I got a call from the Kannapolis ER that, "Oh, Dr. Suda, we've got a patient here who's been on heroin and we discovered she's pregnant." And so I was able to leave my three gentlemen friends and miss a few holes and talk to the ER doctor and managed to get this patient in the next day. When she came in, she told me how strongly she believed in having a full-term healthy baby, that this was her opportunity. And I said, "This can be your opportunity." And I'll be darned, because I took care of her through the pregnancy. She brought in her partner, who she married halfway through the pregnancy. And 4 months after she delivered a healthy baby girl, she was off to Southern Virginia, where he got a job, and she was ably and comfortably taking care of her four-month-old baby girl.
What a remarkable story that is. Is that one of the reasons why you started the SUN Project?
I don't want to try to be overly dramatic, but when you see a woman come in who is tremulous and, having all kinds of withdrawal symptoms, and admittedly doesn't know if she's going to be able to make it, and you promise her the opportunity to get a full-term healthy baby, you actually spin on a dime yourself. I've seen lives turn around 180 degrees in these women, because when you leverage a healthy baby, they'll do things for their baby that they won't do for themselves. But it changes my life every day in the clinic.
Gina, I'd like to turn to you for a moment. I understand that the Sun Project is separate from the clinic, and there's also the Institute. Can you help us understand how one relates to the other?
The Sun Project helps address the big system issues that clinicians and providers like Dr. Suda don't really have the time to address so that he can be a doctor. We built the infrastructure, the capacity, and those long-term solutions that often get in the way of being able to provide good care. We help address those social determinants of health that Dr. Suda was talking about that was necessary to provide good patient outcomes.
What is it that's unique about the Sun Project, Gina? What makes it different?
The Sun Project has the legal mechanisms in place so that agencies that normally wouldn't have been able to coordinate care together or share information now can. And this care coordination actually improves patient outcomes. It reduces provider frustration that Dr. Suda mentioned, and it saves a lot of healthcare costs. To our knowledge, it's the only project in North Carolina that has the capacity to do that. There's only one other one in the nation that we know of that has the legal mechanisms to navigate 42 CFR Part 2, HIPAA, and social services law. So that we know of, this is the first time that DSS, public health, healthcare, and then community agencies are actually coming together to share information with patient consent that otherwise previously was not legally permitted to be shared without that consent and without this mechanism in place.
So you're mentioning the legal impediments to that sort of foundational approach to what you're about in the Sun Project makes me curious about whether that might be what led you to us here at the School of Government.
It absolutely was. Every other lawyer that we had spoken to or legal team was a big fat no, right? And I think they're designed to look at the risks and why things can't happen. But it was really amazing to be able to come to the legal experts at UNC and have a team who actually took the time. It took over 2 years to look at the nuances of the law and see how we could actually make this work and make it a reality so that we now do have a network in place that helps Dr. Suda and all of the providers provide amazing care and connect patients to address all of their needs and have these success stories.
So it was a 2-year project just to get you to a point where this might work.
It was.
Amazing. Mark, talk to me a minute about your first involvement.
Gina Hofer contacted me in April of 2019, 4.5 years ago, to ask if I could come to Cabarrus County to learn about the Sun Project and see if I might assist them with some of the legal issues that arise when multiple agencies try to share different sets of information that are subject to multiple confidentiality laws. If these agencies are going to be able to collaborate and discuss the person they serve so that services and care can be targeted, coordinated, and comprehensive, then they have to be able to share information about the person they are serving. So I came, I did a presentation, and at the end of the presentation, Dr. Suda came up and introduced himself. He asked me, "Mark, can we do this?" To which I responded, "Yes." I think this was the first time a lawyer had ever said yes to him. My answer was essentially, if you are trying to do something good, and while I was there, I found out they were, we can figure out a way to make it work, including within the parameters of confidentiality law. I will never forget the look on Dr. Suda's face when I said this. It was kind of like the final scene in Casablanca when Humphrey Bogart said, "I think this is the beginning of a beautiful relationship."
I have to unmute to say, I've never been likened to anybody in a movie, like a movie star. Thank you.
So So Christy, Mark, of course, has the mental health background, that area of the law. Tell us a little bit about the social services element of confidentiality and how that plays into the Sun Project.
Yeah, so the inclusion of departments of social services in the collaborative in the Sun Project really creates kind of an added layer of complication when it comes to information sharing. So, you know, as we've talked about earlier, Mark and I worked with the Sun Project to help develop a release of information that would comply with a number of different legal requirements that apply to these different organizations and community partners that are part of the project. That release of information is a form that allows a pregnant woman who's being served by the Sun Clinic to essentially make an informed decision about whether she wants to consent to having different agencies and organizations within the Sun Project share confidential information with each other in order to coordinate her care. But social services is a little bit different. So unlike most types of confidential information, child welfare information specifically cannot be shared with consent. So even if a mom signs the Sun Project's release of information, that does not allow a Department of Social Services to share information about her child's case with the Sun partners. There are some other avenues in state law that may allow some of that information to be shared in very specific circumstances with very specific partners through the use of administrative orders that apply to judicial districts. So we were able to help the Sun Project agencies navigate through some of those laws and update the administrative orders in their districts to allow some of this information sharing to happen where permitted by law.
I think it's fascinating that both you and Mark have worked hard to make it happen, to fix it in a way that can allow this project to move forward and be successful. That didn't happen overnight. You've already talked about this 2-year window of background work that you all spent with Dr. Suda trying to understand the legalities that or a part of the project, and then figuring out how to problem solve that sharing is just remarkable. I'd like to think about Dr. Williams, your role in this, because I think that evaluation process that you went through was probably really instrumental in keeping the information flow about what's working and what isn't. Tell us about your research.
A lot of it had to do with the information flow in terms of the collaborative. So first to answer that question, the Sun Project has a governance group that helps with decision-making, but then the monthly care coordination group meets to coordinate care for the patients to ensure that the patients aren't lost within a system. My job is to say, this is how we coordinate, and their jobs is to say how we can do it legally.
What would you say to other local governments that might want to undertake this kind of collaboration? How do you know you have the right people in the room to help something this complex yield the right outcomes?
So I can speak to what the people that the Sun Project have brought to the table to ensure success for their program. So a public health authority in the county would be extremely important. A health provider that currently engages or is interested in providing these services. A private health provider would also be important. Dr. Suda can speak to the importance of educating doctors on how to provide care to this population within a system that sort of disincentivizes treatment for patients that require casework. In addition to a Department of Human Services, what is really unique with Cabarrus County is that their Human Services Department focuses on prevention. They work with the Sun Project to think about how can they address a situation before we get to the point where the child is being removed. Also, a representative from the healthcare system in the area would be extremely important. And these people should be decision makers that can actually address issues. Someone from the Division of Adult Correction and Juvenile Justice, substance use treatment providers would be extremely important as well. Nonprofit organizations that can assist with wraparound services. And most importantly, a peer support person that has lived experience that can provide feedback for the process. Peer support specialists that the Sun Project has they have been extremely important in helping to inform the evaluation process and provide feedback that has already been put into place to help improve patient outcomes.
Gina, you want to weigh in on that? How do you identify people who are willing to share their lived experience and take an active role in this project?
It took us a long time to build trust in our community so that they felt comfortable coming. In fact, today, 1 o'clock, we had our community feedback group, and it's still small. We only have about 3 or 4 moms that attend after doing this for 4.5 years. But we actually had them contact us. And once they enter a place in their recovery journey, they want to give back and they want to help others. That seems to really drive their recovery and their sense of purpose and their healing. And they're very, very driven. So they've actually come to us. And that's one of the peer support specialists that Dr. Williams is referring to. We have Dr. Suda and some of our clinicians reach out to our patients and invite them to our community feedback group. And then they voluntarily can come and attend our feedback group to provide input and give us guidance on how we can improve the project and better serve our community.
So it sounds like that feedback group is equally important, Gina, that becomes maybe a catalyst for the peers to actually continue their involvement. Dr. Suda, Dr. Williams mentioned the importance of having you working and talking with the physicians. Could you tell us how that plays out? Are they willing listeners? Are you fighting an uphill battle with them? What are the dynamics of having physicians like yourself willing to take on this other role and collaborate with people that are outside their practice?
That's a question that I've come to know the answer to over the past 6 years of being in the Sun Project. I needed to learn that a woman's care during her pregnancy, while she's using substances, has to entail forming a productive, healthy family at the end of that pregnancy, and that initiating behavioral health services and social services had to occur during the pregnancy, or the baby would be birthed into a really a non-receptive situation that led to higher stress levels for the mother, and oftentimes to being separated from that baby by the Department of Health and Human Services. When I talk to physicians about serving substance use pregnancy patients, is think about the terminus. Think about a family that needs to come out of this process, because only through the collaborative arrangement of a family at the end of the pregnancy can you hope that a mother is recovered enough to focus on her baby. Her baby can focus on mother and get the attachment it needs, and the support and wraparound services that extend through the family are there for that mother and baby to progress. So looking at the formation of a functional family, and that doesn't have to be a totally traditional family, but certainly has to have members that cooperate and collaborate, come together to love and take care of that baby.
Commissioner Morris, I want to turn to you because you're the layman in this group. You're the voice of the people in Cabarrus County as the chairman of the Board of Commissioners. Tell us about your journey with this project.
It's been one that I've somewhat stumbled into, and Dr. Suda has done, and Gina as well, an excellent job of educating me about what they've been able to accomplish and how they've done it. Coincidentally, I serve on the board of the Cabarrus Partnership for Children, which is one of the areas where this started, and I also serve on the board of the Cabarrus Health Alliance, which is involved in the project as well. So that's how I initially began to learn more about it. And of course, some of the things that we've talked about today really speak to me, and that is the collaborative efforts. That is a primary focus in Cabarrus County that we've tried to promote between governmental entities, trying to determine how we can work together to best benefit the citizens of Cabarrus County. And this is just a perfect example of being very successful in those efforts, doing that. It, you know, is of great interest to me to hear the discussion about the legal implications and the way that those have been able to work through. And I think that those same lessons that we learned there are applicable to other situations as well, particularly in the area of behavioral health. And we have focused a lot of our efforts on that. And that area is a big issue, I think, for people all across the nation. And to determine how we can match those needs in collaboration with our law enforcement agencies, certainly our human services department that we've talked about, which is one of our largest county departments. And so to figure out the ways that the Sun Project has been able to work through these issues, I think carry over to other things that we try to do as well. And the educational piece of it, I think, has been the most important part. Were it not for Dr. Suda and Gina and the Sun Project, you know, I really would not have an understanding of pregnant women with substance use issues. Just the average layman, I would say, well, you just don't do it. I've come to understand that these women want to stop their substance use and they want to have healthy babies. And I think that the Sun Project has provided them an avenue to be able to do that. And so as an elected official, it is a great resource for me to be able to share that information with people. And, you know, I frequently say that as chairman of the county commission, my most important role is to be a cheerleader and to be an informer. I also like to say it's very important that we brag about the good things that are going on in Cabarrus County. And the Sun Project is one of those things that we can talk about. When you enter into those conversations, you never know who you're touching on the other end of that conversation that perhaps might benefit from that information, or they may be able to share it with someone else that can benefit. So, you know, it's just a shining star in Cabarrus County. I am so proud to be knowledgeable and to have had the opportunity to hear some of these mothers tell their stories and talk about their experiences and see what positive outcomes they've had.
Commissioner Morris, I think that's an important lesson for elected officials throughout the state, that willingness to learn from the real life experiences when you come with a certain mindset about an issue, and through knowledge gained, you have a different view and such a success. What a powerful message that is.
You're absolutely correct. And that is truly an important part. You know, when you serve in elected office, you are exposed to so many things that in the normal course of living in a community that you might not be aware of. So to be able to take advantage of those experiences and share it with other people is really important.
Mark, would you like to add something to the conversation?
Yes, and the commissioner really highlights this. The Sun Project, I think it bears noting and emphasizing that the Sun Project's about more than providing coordinated clinical and social services to patients. The project itself, to even get to that ultimate goal, involves many things like setting the stage for collaboration among many agencies, engaging key stakeholders and establishing work groups, defining shared goals among these work groups. So that collaborative work, which Tashani works on, is really important work that you have to do before you even get to the point of serving patients. And then Christy and I come in and help them with the law around information sharing so they can serve patients. the School of Government helps assist with confidentiality law, but also collaboration and research to evaluate how the project's going. In addition to that, this project, though it started in Cabarrus County, is being expanded into Rowan and Stanley County. And in each of those counties, this quote unquote project, including all the development and collaborative building among agencies, is at a different stage of development. And Cabarrus, it's very mature. In Stanley County, it's just getting started. And Dashaunee just worked with them about a month ago on setting the stage and bringing stakeholders together and defining shared goals. I think Cabarrus, to their credit, is doing some amazing things that I think and that should be and are being expanded to other counties. And I think it could, there's so much to learn here and so much that's good that I think it could and should be carried to more counties in North Carolina.
Thank you for sharing that, Mark. I think that you raise an interesting point about the infrastructure that it takes before you ever get to the services. You have to have an infrastructure that leads to trust. It is very, very hard to trust somebody that you don't know or that you've never met. And it sounds to me like trust is a necessary part of anything that results in this kind of a collaboration. You have to trust the collaborators, the partners, but the people that you're serving have to trust you and know that you're doing what's in their best interest. I think building that element of trust doesn't happen. It's not a switch that you flip. It takes time, and you have to have all of these partners willing to go in it for the long haul. Dashaunee, did you have something you want to add?
Well, we could talk about the outcomes of the project that we found. One of the things that Gina and myself works on is looking at how the collaborative itself improves over time. And so during the first couple of years, what we primarily focused on was using the SAMHSA survey, looking at how much the group actually improved in its collaborative processes. In terms of patient outcomes, we looked at whether or not those processes helped the patients to have a better experience. So looking at patient satisfaction, as well as their outcomes. So from the patient feedback, they are very thankful for the people at the Sun Project, and we really push them to give us negative things. The only thing that we did hear complaints about was the process, like how long it took when they got to the clinic to get assistance or how long it took to go through the process. And that simple thing has been improved within a year or two. We've gotten really great feedback from the patients. In terms of patient outcomes, we can speak to how the program efficacy by looking at the evaluation that we completed last year. There were 40 Sun clients at that point in time. And among those clients, there were 0 infant deaths, 0 maternal deaths. And there have been a high adherence to medicated assisted treatment. The medicated assisted treatment is what the patients use to help them remain not using whatever substance they were using prior to that. And so what we found was that 81% of those patients taking that substance were adhering to treatment and were successful in their treatment process. And these numbers are in comparison to national rates, actually above national rates for programs providing substance use treatment for pregnant women. So there were also high retention rates with 95% of patients remaining in the program between 6 months and 12 months of treatment. 91% of the mothers delivered at full term, and we found that average gestational age was 38 weeks. And lastly, the social determinant of health needs for the women within the program were improved from when they started to when they left the program. They improved by 61%. And these needs are related to housing, transportation, job assistance, food, childcare, things like that. So moving forward, myself and the graduate student hired by the Suda Institute, Christina Yaderholm, she's a PhD candidate at Portland State University. She and I will be working together to do the same evaluation that we did in 2022 so that we can make some comparisons to those numbers. But we'll also be broadening the scope of the study to examine county level data to determine the extent to which the program has affected child removal rates within the counties in North Carolina. And then we'll also be looking at the national level to see if there are any trends in print news media around how stories related to drug use and pregnancy has been framed within the media. And the idea is that the conversations that happen within the media influences policies and policy changes. And so we'll be looking at that next.
Dr. Williams, I think it's important that as we go through something as complex as this project, you keep the end goal in mind, but you also learn from your experiences as you're going through it. And all of that input will help frame this project as it moves into Stanley and Rowan, and the outcomes that you're looking for will be documented. Before we close, I would like to offer any of our discussants today an opportunity to add any thoughts that you have. Before we end this conversation, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to add to the discussion?
Patrice, I would just like to say that the lessons that I have learned through exposure to the Sun Project and conversations with Dr. Suda will prove invaluable as we go forward, like most all counties in North Carolina, in talking about the opioid settlement dollars that have come down to the counties as a result of lawsuits. I think were it not for the exposure that I have received because of the Sun Project, I really wouldn't understand what medical assisted therapy is and how that works and what the options are. And I know that I've already been engaged in numerous conversations with other providers that are interested in receiving funding from those settlement funds. It has made me much more literate in being able to have those conversations. So that's another big benefit that's really in addition to the other positive things that we've talked about that have resulted from the Sun Project.
I want to thank our guests today for everything that they've added to our knowledge about the issues of being pregnant and using substances and how you collaborate and help make things happen where they need to happen. Dr. Russell Suda, Gina Hofert, Tashani Williams, Christy Nicodem, Mark Botts, and Commissioner Steve Morris from Cabarrus County. Thank you all for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our incredible studio producer, Paul Bonner. If you like this podcast, you can like and subscribe to it on our website at the School of Government. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and Google Podcast. If you have ideas for additional topics, you can reach me at prosler@sog.unc.edu. That's prosler@sog.unc.edu. Thank you.